Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And we ask this in the name of Mary's child, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The scene which Luke, the good physician, records for us is at once extraordinary and utterly ordinary. It is ordinary in that he records two expectant mothers, related, perhaps cousins, and they meet. The older, visibly pregnant, the other as yet with no visible sign. An ordinary meeting, an exchange of experiences, questions, fears, hopes, and yet an utterly extraordinary meeting. The older Elizabeth, well above the normal age of childbearing, her impending pregnancy announced by the angel Gabriel to her also elderly husband Zechariah, struck temporarily dumb for his unbelief. Her unborn child, the subject of prophecy. John the Baptist, you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. And the younger, Mary, her pregnancy also announced by the angel Gabriel directly to her, a young unmarried girl. And Mary's unborn child, a virgin conception, conceived by the Holy Spirit. So very tiny in these early days of pregnancy, the Lord, Emmanuel, God with us. She and Joseph would name him Jesus. I wonder if we might have the picture on the screen, Richard. Luke gives us a picture in words. Here it is in visual art. One of the very many things I am not is an art critic, but this is a painting by Goosen van der Weyden, Flemish painter, early 16th century. Mary in blue is on the left, Elizabeth to the right bows the knee in reverence. And Elizabeth, filled with God's Holy Spirit, speaks. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? When the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. So Elizabeth expresses her and the unborn John's response to the visit of Mary and her unborn child, Jesus. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Acknowledging a tiny unborn child as my Lord, Elizabeth's response is of astonished humility. Why am I so favored? Who am I that God should give me this blessing, that my Lord should come to me. From time to time, as we follow Jesus through his earthly ministry, we find a perhaps similar sense of humility and astonishment. In Luke chapter 17, 10 lepers are healed by Jesus. 9 just went on their way healed. Did they take their healing for granted? 1 came back. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Humble, astonished, and thankful. And he was a Samaritan. In Luke chapter 7, a centurion's servant lies mortally ill. The Jewish elders, sent by the centurion to Jesus, asked Jesus to heal the servant because the centurion deserved that blessing. He loves our nation. He's built us a synagogue. So you ought to heal him. Not so the centurion himself. I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. Humility, astonishment, and faith. Samuel Crossman wrote a hymn which we sometimes sing, Love Unknown. My song is love unknown, my Saviour's love to me, love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. Oh, who am I? Who am I for my sake? If we are people of faith in God's dear Son, Jesus Christ, people who love him, if he has come to us under my roof, into our lives, has it been of our deserving? Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the deserving, the good, the respectable. I came to seek and to save the lost. And Paul in Romans chapter 5, God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If Jesus Christ, God's Son, has come under our roof and into our lives, may we in humble astonishment ask with Mary, why am I so favored? And John, due in 3 months and moving in the womb, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. The coming of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ, brings joy. There is much joy in the first 2 chapters of Luke's Gospel. The angel to the shepherds, I bring you news, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. A Saviour has been born to you, the Messiah, the Lord. joy is a heavenly thing, a heavenly quality. There is rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. When you or I acknowledge our sin, the wrong we have thought and said and done, and turn to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, then there is rejoicing in heaven. And if we are people of repentant faith in Jesus Christ today, the angels rejoice. There is joy in heaven. Joy on earth too, even for us. For God's dear Son offers us joy, his joy. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. In John chapter 15, Jesus speaks of his Father's love for him and his love for his disciples, for us. Keep my commands, says Jesus. Remain in my love. Love one another as I have loved you. And in verse 11 of that chapter, Jesus says, I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. And Jesus assures us that no one will take away the joy he brings to us. In a thousand ways, that joy may be challenged, but not ultimately defeated. We may ourselves turn our backs on the joy Jesus gives by our wanderings, our forgetfulness, our sin. And we may need to pray with David, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Mary's child, Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit, he lived a perfect human life, died for our sins, rose from death, and sends us his Holy Spirit, and he has come to us. Let us, with Elizabeth, welcome him under our roof, into our hearts, into our lives, and with humble astonishment ask with Elizabeth, why am I so favored? Let us with John hail him, Lord, with joy. And may we sing with Mary, his mother, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. Amen.